Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, February 5th. You know, these microphones are really like something happened here.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the microphones or the headphones.
I'll turn them down a little bit. No, it's just like kind of
staticky,
blurry.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. And we have a guest in the studio.
Yeah.
We haven't had one in a while, so that's good. We also took a break last week, so if you're just joining us, welcome back. And so we seem to have a very interesting guest, so we'll get to that in just a moment. Mm-hmm. We can talk about our film, and seems like we once again might have an Academy Award winner here, because
it's almost
Catherine
like,
always sends the winners, right. The future winners.
Right, you know, it's not Oscar weekend, right?
Is it Oscar weekend?
No, right?
No, Oscar weekend is the 24th.
24th.
Okay. So it's a while from now.
Yeah.
All right. That was our guest. It's just a little tease, and we'll give you more in a little bit. So, Danny, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Yeah, you were recovering. You're not jet-lagged, are you?
No, I am.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning. I was just, like, sitting up, ready to go. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, right?
How
exciting.
Now I'm kind of tired. Yeah. I feel a little tired right now.
If you're bored, I have a lot to do. I have furniture to put together.
No, thank you. I'm good. I think I'll pass on that.
I did most of it, but I still have the...
No, I'm going to try to get back in the gym today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gym is good.
Yeah, I took 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
So I'm like, ugh, you know?
Yeah. You know, your sister put up a very provocative picture. Did you see it?
Nope, because I unfollowed her.
You unfollowed her. Like, her legs is, like, spread, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't
what
tell
kind
you.
Of a... I mean, not nude, of course, or anything, but it's pretty provocative.
Yeah, I don't know what she's going through.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah. Unfollow. Bye.
Yeah. If you guys happen to stumble on the internet of a picture that looks like Danny, but it's not Danny, that's a twin sister.
I'm actually going to look right now.
I don't remember if it was in... No, it was probably
Instagram. I think she deleted
Instagram.
It.
Really?
Yeah.
Was
it like on her feet or in her story?
No, she was sitting down and kind of like, you know, she had something over her. I don't know what it was. I think she was wearing red or something.
Okay, yeah, so, she deleted it, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, it was pretty, you know.
Out there. Yeah.
It's not like her.
Yeah. I mean, but the last couple of 10 posts that she's uploaded haven't really been like her either.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe she's going through something.
Yeah. Well, clearly. She put the pause on me, so.
I'm telling you, we needed to talk to her more often on the show, you know? Maybe she would have been a little calmer.
No, I don't think so.
No.
All
right. Well, I wanted to bring up one thing that is like so weird to me.
What?
Obviously, most people hate smoking. They don't like it. But there's a group of people that smoke, right?
Yeah,
now,
clearly.
Hawaii, yeah. I'm a representative.
Including you.
I'm a representative. Did you notice this whole building smokes, though? Everybody in this building smokes, almost.
Yeah,
it seems
every time.
Like when you go down the stairs at the parking, you know, half the people here smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, Hawaii is considering a bill that bans cigarette sales to anyone under 100.
I saw it.
Did you?
Yeah.
So you have to be 100 years old to get a cigarette.
I think it's cool.
Why?
Because I don't think people should smoke.
Okay, but are you supposed to make the decisions for them?
I mean, it will help a lot of people live longer.
Yeah, but let them decide, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, I've lived to 58.
Pass,
I'm happy.
If they can pass, 58's young, Sam.
Okay.
You still could cut off like 20 years of your life.
Listen, we have a lot of things that we can choose. We should be able to choose that. The government can't choose for me. They can't.
I mean,
you know?
If it passes in Hawaii, then they can't.
I know. Then I ain't fucking going to Hawaii, man. But they said tourists can
smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because they don't live there.
Yeah. Plus, I don't know. They're trying to get taxes on.
When I went to Hawaii, I didn't really notice that many people smoking.
Mm. Well, it depends where you go, yeah. But no, because it's the States, and the States, not many people smoke.
Yeah, anymore, I didn't notice, like, anybody.
Right.
Yeah, the smell wasn't, because sometimes but when you go on vacation.
It's just the principle, you know. I mean, to me, the government should only be there for things that I can't do for myself. You know, like protect me from enemy, you
cigarettes
know, roads.
Are enemies.
Oh, so, shut up, okay?
They are.
Stop being like this righteous person. Do you drink?
I do.
Okay, I hate when people drink. What about that? How about I say we outlaw alcohol again?
I mean, there are a lot of laws that have to do with alcohol, though. There's not
yeah,
that
but
has to
they
do
don't
cigarettes.
Ban it. You know, just the age, the drinking age, and not.
Well, I
to
mean,
drive.
They ban drinking and driving.
Well, of course, you
and
have
they ban
to.
Public intoxication.
So it shows you it's even more dangerous than cigarettes. So what the hell, you know?
I don't know.
You
if
don't
that's
kill
true.
Other people with cigarettes. You kill them with cars. You know? Come on. Anyway,
you're just killing yourself.
That's just my two cents. I understand that, but people can't make that decision for me.
But imagine right? if you never smoked a cigarette in your life and you never got addicted to it, because it's really the addicted component that you're mentally attached to.
Probably,
so if you never
yeah.
smoked it because uh-huh. there was a law that said you can't smoke this,
right.
it wouldn't even be a conversation. You wouldn't be so upset about it.
That's not true. I would find it somewhere. I would make my own. God
but you're
it.
Only thinking that now because you're addicted to it right now. But if
no,
you were
I
never
know.
Addicted to it to begin with, you wouldn't think that.
All right. But I know it's hard to understand, but I happen to enjoy it. You know,
yeah,
so
I don't
there
get
you
it.
Go. And there's a million other people that do too. You know,
but I mean,
know.
There's a
I
lot of things I
told
get.
You. I went to that Israeli party and everybody was smoking.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There you go.
Like
you know,
I was
it's culture.
Driving in Boston and I was in the middle of an intersection and there was just like two ladies standing up but like slumped over with their heads down,
uh-huh.
high on heroin. And I just like, I don't understand
oh
that.
God. Heroin? Yeah.
yeah, like I just don't understand why people enjoy that.
Well, they get hooked on it.
Yeah,
like
but
you
hooked
said.
On what? Like. Sleeping,
well,
standing
it's probably
up?
Got a. It's probably a good high for them. I don't know.
I don't. I
it's
don't
gotta
it.
Be if they if so many people get addicted to it.
Yeah.
So easily.
Just
you know?
Like I don't understand that. I don't understand cigarette smoking
yeah.
either. So.
Okay. Well.
Agree not, to disagree.
Yeah.
Though.
Not understanding something does not mean you should ban it, though. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying.
I'm against bans. Period. You know.
So you think anyway. That all drugs should be legal then?
No.
So then you're not against banning. Because those are banned.
No, but no, that's not banning. That's making it, well.
Yeah.
No.
yeah.
No, I mean, if it's, no, I don't know. Well, whatever.
Yo, I was like the queen argument. Of my debate class. There's
no,
just no
not,
winning.
Okay, well, I'm not conceding here the debate. I just don't want to get into it too much. You know, we do have a guest here and stuff. But that's the case there, you know. And, yeah, I just wanted to ask you, did you hear from the guy since the weekend?
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm. This morning at like 4 a.m., like right when I woke up.
Do you guys talk on the phone yet, or is it back to texting now?
I mean, he doesn't really text. It's very bland, which is crazy because his personality is not bland at all.
So you don't. So if he doesn't text a lot, then you don't talk on the phone, not much communication.
No,
then.
But he said that from the beginning. He's just not really a good technology communicator. yeah. I think I'll just probably hit him up.
You mean that? You know what it means in English?
What?
I don't want to commit to one woman.
I mean, but that's a given.
okay.
I don't think.
But he couldn't say that. So
yeah.
He's
no,
like,
he said that.
I'm not a big texter.
Said I'm not ready for a relationship right now. I said, all right, whatever. it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He doesn't know me well enough, and I haven't spent enough time with him for him to feel like he should be committed to me.
Right,
like,
exactly.
4 days out of a weekend isn't. And even at that, I only hung out with him when he was offset.
Right.
So it was only like a short amount of time.
He fell in love with you or something in 4 days.
Right, right. I feel like maybe if it was like 6 months of me flying out once a month, then if you don't feel something, then like you ain't.
Right.
Like, bye.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm proud of you, though, for not falling for him after 4 days. You know? You're known to do that.
I know.
All right. So
I think it's easier because he doesn't live here.
Yeah.
If he lives here, I can't.
And plus, you probably didn't consider it as a possibility. You know?
Right.
You just went there.
For me, it's just fun.
Exactly. Exactly.
Until like 2-3 times pass, and then I'm like, all right, hold on a second.
Exactly. So don't go back.
I might love
just,
you now.
Yeah, just keep the memory alive and keep going.
No. If he asked me back, I would definitely go.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to bring in our guest right now. And by the way, I think the rain's going to stop soon.
Yeah.
You know, do you believe it? It hasn't stopped in 4 days.
I think it's supposed to be done today.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, around 2 p.m. it's supposed to be over.
Okay. Well, whatever.
And then it picks back up on Saturday all through the weekend. So that's great.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. I love the rain. You know that. All right. Well, We're joined by this morning by Marianne Farley. Welcome to the show, Marianne.
Hi, guys.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. You guys are so interesting to listen to.
Thank you.
Great.
So I understand you're visiting us in L.A.
Yes, for a couple days. I'm going back tonight, actually.
Where are you going back to?
Montreal.
Montreal, Canada.
Yeah.
Wow. And how long have you been here? Like 2 days?
2 days.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard.
How long's
back.
That flight?
I think I have two flights, so I'm leaving at midnight and arriving at like 11 in the
morning. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to sleep in
the airport.
There's no direct flights?
Yeah. We were just trying to, I don't know.
Yeah, you
just
want to save some money.
Exactly.
But I feel like,
forth a couple times, you know?
I feel like flights that stop are more expensive than nonstop, which makes no sense.
It was half the price.
Oh, really?
Yeah it is.
Was it a last minute trip? Like you booked it last minute? That's why.
Let me ask you this. So you came to L.A. only for 2 days?
Yeah.
Why?
For the luncheon, the nominees luncheon, the Oscars nominees luncheon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Is it a short film?
It's a short film.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're the producer and the director of the film?
I'm the writer-director.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and the film we're talking about is Marguerite, and we'll get to it, of course, in depth and everything, but just a little bit about you. So you guys had a luncheon, like all the people that are nominated for the Academy Awards?
All the nominees.
Really?
Yeah.
It all of them?
Crazy. I saw Regina King and I was like, I love you so much. She's so amazing.
Wow. Who else did you get to see? I mean, you were rubbing elbows.
Did you see Leonardo DiCaprio by any chance?
No, he wasn't. He's not nominated. He wasn't there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He hasn't done a movie in a while,
no,
right?
He hasn't, yeah.
I know he's working on something.
I saw Spike Lee.
Oh, that's cool.
I was such a Spike Lee fan.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. He was looking at me like, you white girl. What do you want? Obviously. I'm like, no, I'm a huge fan, for real.
That's funny. So did you grow up in Montreal? Are you Canadian originally?
Yeah. Yeah, I was born in Montreal, and then I lived in Alberta for a while. And
is that in Canada,
Toronto.
Too?
Yeah, that's all in Canada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Cool. But Montreal is home for you.
Montreal's home for me, yeah.
Have you been to L.A. before?
My first time.
Really?
Yes. And it's been raining since I got here.
Oh, it's really disappointing.
I'm like, this is crazy.
I know.
But I left like five feet of snow. So I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
I know, but still. Yeah.
But you're missing out on the sun, you know?
I mean,
we have such great sunshine here.
Yeah.
You know?
But I will be back in like a week, I think. Yeah. Right, Calvin?
Oh, really? Yeah. To pick up your award.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
To give her acceptance speech.
Yeah. Oh. That is so nerve-wracking. Thinking about that, going, okay. It's
wait,
like
it's not in a week, right?
It's in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
But we're coming back for just to do promo and stuff.
Yeah, right.
That's very cool.
That's cool.
It's very cool.
So all I can tell you is, I can encourage you by saying that many of the people that are sent here by Catherine Lynn Scott
have won
the Oscars. So you're in good company.
Actually, I don't know if that's
amazing.
True.
No, well, they were at least nominated.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, a lot of them were nominated, but I don't think anyone...
Well, you know what? Nomination is good enough,
yeah,
right?
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
So your film was nominated.
Yeah, it's part of five films.
Really? Only five? So that's cool. Five. It's not like 10 or something.
No. The short list is 10, yeah. So
yeah.
We found out on January 22nd that we were nominated.
Wow.
It's very exciting.
I'm sure.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's like the craziest experience
How long
ever.
Ago did you make the movie?
2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been doing the festival run for about a year and a half, I guess.
So really? You have to do the festival run before you can be nominated, right?
You actually have to win an award at an Academy recognized festival.
Right.
So my film won at Rhode Island Film Festival, which
That's a big deal.
And then you're allowed to submit your film to the Academy.
Yeah, very nice. So for a year and a half you've been in the circuit, showing the film
around
the country, around the world.
Around the world, yeah.
Wow. Have you gotten to other countries too?
I went to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me over. I had to shoot like a short film for the festival. Very exciting.
Yeah.
For 4 days. That was crazy. The jet lag was insane.
Oh, wow.
And where else did I go? I guess I stayed in Canada and in the States a little bit, but I didn't. I was shooting another film in the summer, so I had to... I had to stay in Montreal.
Oh, right. Wow.
Another short film or?
No, a feature that I was co-producing and playing in because I'm also an actress.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Look at you multitasking, doing everything.
Well, let's find out how we got to this. So tell us a little bit. Did you have a nice childhood? Do you have siblings?
I have two. I actually have sorry, because my parents are separated. Nine I have three sisters. Actually, I have one sister, two half-sisters, and a brother.
Oh, so yeah. It's a big family.
Big family.
Right. Very nice.
Yeah.
And were you the oldest, youngest?
I'm the oldest girl. My brother is older.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Very nice.
And half my family lives in the States. My half-sisters live in Cleveland, Ohio.
Right. Okay.
Oh, very nice. So your parents divorced early on in your life?
Yeah, I was like two or three.
Really?
Very early on.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Well, my son was actually younger than that, but it's still...
Sometimes it's easier when you're younger.
Yeah, I think so.
Because my parents just separated anything. And it's more like, you know.
Just like recently?
Yeah, like a year ago.
That must
actually.
Have been hard.
It's harder now. Yeah. I feel like if I was younger, I would have been like, I get it.
I don't think so. It's always hard. Believe me, I think at least when you're older... You can understand what's going on.
Right, I guess. Yeah, that's true.
But so you never knew your parents together?
I don't remember
them. You don't remember, right?
Ever being together, no.
Are they like cool though?
They are. Yeah, they are.
Like you guys can all have like family parties together. It's not awkward.
Yeah.
That's always cool.
That's amazing.
That's how I envision if I ever get separated with someone. I'm like, all right, see you at Christmas though. You know?
Yeah. Actually,
that's if you have kids, right?
I've been separated for like a year and a half, and we're still living together with our kids.
Oh,
so
have you seen that show, Splitting Up Together?
No, I haven't.
Watch it. Okay. That might be you guys. Maybe you guys will end up falling back in love. You never know.
But you know, these things happen all the time, you know? I mean, all kinds of different combinations, mm-hmm. you know, of people that were separated get back together vice versa and so forth. So how come you had that situation? I mean, was that for the kids or was it economically more?
I think it's for many reasons. Yeah, for the kids, for us as well, because we're very close. Like, we still love each other. It's just we're not, you know, we're just not a couple
compatible.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I've been gone a lot this year, and he's been there for the kids, and it's just so much easier and financially as well. To one house.
But tell me something. Doesn't it get in the way of new relationships for you guys?
Yeah, well, maybe.
Yeah, because I mean, I think the new person.
Maybe that's why I haven't.
The new person would say, yeah, I mean, the new person, if you meet somebody, they
it's
would
like,
say,
what do you, how do you explain
yeah,
it?
You have someone that's too true. Close to you, you know?
That's true.
I'd be like, what is this?
Yeah.
No, I know that because I'm going through something similar.
Well, you know, we'll see about that. I don't know. I did, you know, I did meet a couple people, but it hasn't really been,
clicked, worked out. Yeah. Dating's really hard
because you haven't disconnected yet. You know, that's all
it.
I'm saying.
I think emotionally there's still something, you know, I mean, of course, and probably men feel that as well.
How long were you together before you separated?
17 years.
Really?
That's a long time.
Yeah. That's why you see, you can't just get rid of somebody, you know?
Right.
I mean, they know you better than anybody else.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right?
That's like basically what my dad's doing to my mom. Like after 33 years, he's just like, yeah, see ya. Aww. I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
So it wasn't like a mutual decision.
No.
But for us, it was a mutual decision.
Yeah.
So that makes it
way
it much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was
totally
a mutual
relate.
Decision, they'd probably still live together too.
Yeah.
Right.
Because now he's paying like two
houses.
Yeah. Now, so it's like for him, I'm sure. Oh, I wish this went down a little smoother.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not even that. If he doesn't find anybody soon, and it's hard to find someone the older you get. You know?
Oh no, my dad has multiple women.
Really?
Yeah, and
okay,
he's like,
so he's not gonna age alone.
I don't know. He's like a weirdo. Like he's got multiple women, but he's super alone. And I keep saying, like, you're at the end of the. Let's talk about you.
All right. Yeah. Let's go back
Everybody
to that.
Everybody has commitment issues up to
it's
a certain point.
Yeah. And I feel like it's just like a generation thing too now. Like I feel like a lot of people now are so scared to fall in love or feel anything that it's just kind of like, I'd rather be single.
Relationships are really hard.
Mm-hmm.
They're really hard.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So were you married rather young, would you say?
Yeah.
17 years. I mean, I'm thinking you're not like 80 or anything.
No, I'm 85.
Yeah, okay. I'm doing the math. You seem pretty young to me, so you had to have married young. Mm. That's interesting. And how many kids do you guys have together?
Two. We have two boys. We have a teenage boy. Oh, God, that's so much work. 14 and turning 9, two boys.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But you know what? It's always work. You know, it doesn't matter how old they are.
14 is just
it's always
that
a lot
age,
of work,
though.
You know.
Oh, 14 is that
age.
Yeah,
it's like the 8th grade dances, staying out a little later.
Yeah.
It gets more complicated now, right?
Yeah.
They're a little more independent.
He's sweet. You know, I sent him a photo of I think me and Bradley Cooper yesterday, and he's
wow.
he answers bruh. Like, I'm not sure what that means. Yeah. But, you know,
it means it's cool, it's mom.
Cool.
Yeah,
it's cool, mom.
Yeah. So that's cool. You took a picture with Bradley.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
how I cool did. Is that?
And Spike Lee.
Yeah.
Are they both friendly?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. They were very sweet.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they be? You know.
You never know.
Well, how many of them are not nice?
I've met a few people in the industry where I'm like,
maybe
wow.
Maybe they're just miserable, yeah. You know? I mean, you know, if you're happy where you are,
right.
You're not going to be, you know.
Like, I've been a huge fan of the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah.
And I met Tyrese, like, a couple weeks ago, and I was so let down by his, like, demeanor and how he really? Treats really? People. I'm really? Like, yo, it's because of us that you have a career.
Definitely.
I'm just so shocked that I was like, excuse me. Can I just, like, get a quick picture? Like,
yeah.
Very
yeah.
humble, didn't, like, call him out in the middle of the crowd. And he was, like, put his hand up. No.
Oh,
yeah.
My
I was like,
God.
Wow. Yeah. Now I'll never, like.
Very insulting.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We have somebody using sign language, so we're going to actually let him talk. No, get on the microphone, because Kathleen does sometimes too. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, but you can't sit there in silence the whole time.
Yeah, and he's doing sign language, you know. What is your name?
Hello, my name is Calvin Bonds.
Hi, Calvin. Okay, so
I do PR with Catherine. Yes.
Sounds good.
Yes.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Just tell us what it is you're trying to signal to Danny, because you
no, he doesn't want to talk about it. Don't put him on the spot.
You're practically doing a dance here. No?
He's just happy to be here.
No, yeah. Well. No, I just agree. I just agree with her because you know a lot of times you don't actually see the personalities of a lot of stars mm-hmm. unless you're. You know, there.
Right. In real life.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then when you're there in real life,
right.
then you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And like she said, if it wasn't for us, it would be no you.
Right. Right.
That's right.
Right.
Very, that's
right. Right. And you see all these videos of like people, like I think Lana Del Rey, like a couple weeks ago was on the Shade Room because a fan, she said, yes, I'll take a picture with you. But he took it and he messed up and he went to go take it again. And she said, fuck this. And
really?
Walked away. And I was like, dude, that's like one of your biggest fans ever. Now he's probably never going to buy another one of your albums ever again.
Yeah.
It's just like,
they forget who their customers are.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And I get it. It can be overwhelming. But at some point in your life, you decided this is the life
that's
I want to live. This
I,
is what
I
I'm signing up
that.
For.
I totally agree with that.
Right. So for those of you just joining us, we're talking to filmmaker Marianne Farley. She's from Canada. Her parents got divorced early. That's what we know. That's what we know so far. We're just
she got two kids
living with her ex.
Yeah.
In a very interesting arrangement, we might add. So if you missed that, you can rewind the show later and listen to that. But at any rate, Marianne produced or wrote and directed the film called Marguerite. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know how you get to filmmaking. At what point in your life did you start showing interest in actually?
I imagine
films.
You got into acting first, right?
Yeah, I was actually a singer first. When
oh,
I was
really?
Jeez, is there anything you can't do? Do you dance as well?
No, not really. I actually danced when I was in high school, but I'm not a great dancer.
Yeah, neither.
But except on the dance floor.
Yeah, right.
But I started as a singer. When I was young, I wanted to be a singer / actress. So I guess I started off as a singer,
mm-hmm.
but I like working with people. I need to work in teams. That's really what I enjoy doing
right.
the most. So as a singer, I felt very lonely and I started taking acting lessons to help me out with, you know, stage work and stuff. And I got into it and, you know, and then I started producing because my ex is a director as well. So I started mm-hmm. producing his short films.
Right.
And then,
how did you guys meet in school?
We met on set.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he hired me.
Really?
On something. And then we saw each other in a bar. But it's like a small, Montreal is like
really
a small
city, yeah.
And everyone knows each other, especially
right.
in the industry. So,
wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty unusual to hire somebody and then get involved with them. You end up marrying them, you know?
No, I feel like that sounds like about right.
Often.
Yeah.
I think it happens pretty often.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people, especially if they're on set all the time, that's like where they are.
Yeah.
Going to find their match or something, at least someone.
Yeah.
That's very interesting because it today, in the Me Too era, you know, you don't want to even make a move on someone you work with.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, now. That's true. But 17 years ago, it was probably
it was
more.
Different.
Plus,
right?
they met back up at a bar. It wasn't on set.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't on set.
Yeah.
Right.
And it really depends on how it happens, too. Like,
right.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah,
if it's mutual, it can't be considered Me Too
that's
unless
right.
the girl's a fucking psychopath and just they broke up and now.
I mean, when you spend a lot of time with someone, of course, feelings develop.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes I always wonder that about people that are on sets for a while with each other. Like, and you're playing love interest, how do you not?
Yeah, I mean, many of them connect, you know. Right. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, and especially the intense sex scenes and stuff.
I have to say, I've been an actress for 20 years. It's the sex scenes.
How do they do it?
It's the it's the biggest turnoff ever.
Right, because there's so much pressure. And
there's no, like, sensuality. There's no, right. There's no chase. There's nothing. You have to, like, you're getting undressed in front of a camera.
Right,
it's like
right.
You have to kiss in front of, like, a whole crew.
Right.
And then you have to fake moan.
Yeah.
And, like, fake bump and grind. I imagine it being so awkward.
It is very awkward. And then, you know, the guy has to hold it in, of course.
Yeah, because what if he's actually really turned on?
That's it. No, it's not fun.
No, I know, but look, I mean, there's scenes that they can actually get involved in. And plus, they're, like she said, they're together on set for like 18 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you go through all the trials and tribulations together.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I think it can really bring you together if you do such an embarrassing, stressful scene. It's like a sex scene, you know?
Right.
You sort of feel like, oh boy, you know, we're in the same boat here and stuff.
Right.
So I can see how things can develop, and they do, you
they
know?
Do. I mean, yeah. No, they do, yeah, they do. Obviously.
Hence Angelina but Jolie in private.
Right, but think of how many other jobs people probably do the same things. We just don't hear about.
And it's also, like, you know, it's also your job to fall in love with whoever you're working with.
Right.
You know, because that chemistry has to be there in front of the camera.
Yeah.
So it's really tricky because you have to fall in love and then fall out of love.
Right.
So basically, never date an actor.
Yeah. I don't think I would.
Yeah.
Not so interesting.
So how did you go from acting then into actually, so did you write first and then started directing, or were you doing any direction before you wrote?
I had another, this is my second short film. The first one, I had a friend, a screenwriter who wrote it for me.
Okay.
And she started working for a government agency, a government funding agency. So she's not allowed to write anymore.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, I've left on my own. So I guess I'll try and I'll write it myself.
Wow.
Why can't you write if you work for the government?
Well,
like, you can't have creative ideas.
She's an analyst for film grants and stuff. So
conflict of
interest.
Yeah. Yeah. Conflict of interest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So you pick them, you choose them.
That's it. I still love her.
Yeah.
She's still a great friend.
Whoa. So you decided to undertake Marguerite like practically by yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I had a friend, the Marie-Hélène Panisset, who's the producer on the film. She's the one who said, you know, just write it. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll find someone to write it for
So you
me.
Had an idea for the story, but you needed it written, right?
Yeah.
Had you written before?
I had tried writing. I have a couple features in development that I'm still kind of working on, but it's the first thing that I'm really proud of that I feel is, like, solid.
Mm.
So yeah, it's really hard. Writing is very challenging.
Once you're done writing, like, and you're like, I want to produce this, how do you go about, like, making that happen?
Well, you have to. That's it. We're very lucky in Canada because we do have grants. From the government, we can ask for funding. But you have to send it in. You have to send the script in, and then the first time they said no, they thought the ending was kind of different, and they didn't like the ending, and so they had, you know, a whole bunch of notes, and then I had like 2 weeks to resubmit it. So I sort of threw it in the garbage and started from scratch and cried for like two weeks.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Because was that your first no?
No, I didn't cry for that reason. It's just, writing is so confusing. You're like, you know where you want to go.
Right.
And then you're like putting it on paper, not really on my computer screen, but you're like writing it down and going, is this work? What am I doing? It's just so confusing. And then you're trying to speak from the heart, but then there has to be some kind of structure. It's really challenging.
Does the United States have grants for that?
No, they don't.
Really?
Yeah. It's.
So how do filmmakers ever make it? How do film writers ever make it out
they
here?
They find private funding, or they do it themselves.
Right, private funding. Like, you know, you can get like private grants. And
yeah, but for short films, that's really hard.
Really?
Yeah. There's no money in short films.
Yeah,
I just, I'm asking all these questions because I just finished writing almost 2 months ago my first feature.
Oh,
and I think it's really good, but it's just like sitting on my laptop. And everyone that I asked is just like I know a lot of producers and I know a lot of people that write, but everyone's just like, I'm not helping.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone out here is like not really. You would think that people would be like, all right, well, I'll give you a helping hand.
Well, producers should be interested in reading it at least.
I know. I had one producer read it and he said it was really good, but he's just so busy. Like he just did Mile 22 with Mark Wahlberg. Like he's not going to take my romantic comedy seriously.
Who knows? Well, it really depends on who.
Don't give up on it. You just started.
I wish I lived in Canada.
Yeah.
Give me some money.
Could you make a movie yourself? Come on.
I feel like I could.
Come on.
I feel like I could be a director.
How?
Because I know exactly how I want the movie to go.
Right.
I'd be a little scared if I sold it and then put it in the hands of somebody else.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, directing is a lot more.
You would have to find someone you really trust,
right?
And you admire. Yeah,
yeah,
it's like
I almost
baby,
right?
Your baby,
yeah.
Like I almost want the producer to. Do you guys watch a Netflix film, To All the Boys
I Haven't
I Love
Seen
Before?
It yet. No.
Oh, it was like a phenomenon when it came out. It was like huge, and that's why I was like, I want to write a romantic comedy. I want the producer of that to do it.
Yeah. Well, contact them.
Yeah, I have no idea who it is. Not
well,
a clue.
Find out. You can find out anything today.
IMDb. Just look it up on
IMDb. Right. Yeah. Right. But yeah, no, that's cool. I didn't know that about Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, we're very actually fortunate to have
that. Is that why there's so many like filmmakers from Canada?
A lot of filmmakers from Canada. I don't know, from Quebec particularly. Like Denis Villeneuve, Jean-Marc Vallée. You know, we have a lot of amazing directors.
Do you speak French?
Yeah, I do.
I think that's
She's
so
Canadian,
pretty.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Montreal? Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
My film is in French, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, it is.
It so is. What category is it nominated for?
Live action short film.
Okay. Yay.
Very
so
nice.
So what's it about?
Okay. Yeah, so Marguerite is the name of the film. Mm-hmm. And who stars in it?
Beatrice Picard and Sandrine Bisson.
Okay, so those are the real names, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you repeat that?
No, yeah. Definitely not.
Beatrice Picard. Lejeune Loup. No?
What's that?
Lejeune Loup.
Oh, Lejeune Loup.
Lejeune Loup.
Yeah.
Okay. And Sandrine Bisson.
Sandrine Bisson. Yeah. Yesterday, Laura Dern, remember Calvin? Mm-hmm. Laura Dern she had like 200 names, like all the nominees she had to say out loud. Her accent was amazing.
Really?
She in Girls, right?
She was spot on.
She's in Girls, right?
Laura Dern?
Yeah.
No, Laura Dern. You're thinking, no, Laura Dern is...
Someone else.
An incredible someone actress. Else. I'm going...
I know, the name sounds really familiar. I know that name.
She's done a lot of movies,
Oh, yeah, she's been around for a while.
And she's in a TV show, too, right?
What was the TV show that she was on that they canceled, unfortunately? Yeah. Yeah, Calvin, look it up.
I remember she was like in Primal Fear, and, you know, if you ever saw that.
No, never even heard of it.
It's before your time.
there was a show, it's not Illuminated, but it's something like that, where it starts off and she loses her job, and she becomes like this super, she tries to be super zen. It's just, she's hilarious.
Yeah. It sounds very familiar.
Actress.
Yeah.
Calvin's but I do know some French, but of girls.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yeah.
Yeah,
Laura Dern, she was amazing when she was pronouncing the name.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you have to. You know, you practice in advance. You
actually,
don't want to butcher
anybody's
name. Actually,
they contact you and they ask you to record
your
name.
So then they can practice,
so then they practice it. Yeah.
But 200 names is a lot to practice.
That's a lot. And they have the phonetics as well. Like they'll write your name and then they'll have the phonetics right underneath. So
I hope she gets paid for that.
She must.
Yeah.
She must.
So, okay. So Sandrine and Beatrice. Tell us a little bit about the film. Let's find out.
Enlightened is the show I was looking for.
Never heard of it.
Enlightened. Amazing
Never heard
show.
Of it.
Amazing show.
Yeah. She's been on a lot, though.
She's been, yeah.
I feel like she's even made a guest appearance on American Horror Story at some point. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. That's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
Really?
So the film is Marguerite. Who's Marguerite? Is that the name, the main character in the film?
That's the name of the main character who's played by Beatrice Picard.
Okay.
So she's an elderly woman who suffers from diabetes and it's about this relationship that develops between her and her nurse who comes by every day and takes care of her and at one point she realizes that her nurse is gay.
Oh.
And at first that kind of stirs things up for her. And
male nurse or guy nurse?
Guy nurse. Okay. No, female.
No,
sorry.
Female.
Oh, female.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So
what woman's going to have a male nurse? Not many.
Well, yes, they do.
Yeah, when you're 80, when you're 80, maybe it's not as...
I don't know. They still don't have that very
It
often.
Might not be a thing now that that guy got coma patient. Pregnant.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what the hell's going on. Yeah. But,
oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyway.
Welcome to America.
My father preferred the woman, you know, because I don't know why, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Oh, yeah. That's true, though.
Right?
That's very true.
Yeah.
I did a lot of research in that.
Because nobody wants to be with men. It's the same with psychologists, too. I feel like
older women would definitely want a male nurse.
Well, I don't know.
Like when you're 80,
maybe, yeah.
And you got like a 30-year-old, you'd be like, yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Come
right?
feed me my Jello. Yes, absolutely.
All right, good one. So she found out she's gay, but why would it bother her? I guess because she's older and has got like more conservative views. Right.
Yeah,
things.
It's a generational thing, you know.
Right.
And it's about the connection between two women from very different generations. Mm-hmm. So I don't really I don't want to give the film away too much, but
because it's a short film. I mean, you say a couple things about it, you give away.
Yeah, because how long is it? 15?
It's 19 minutes.
19 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
How did you get the idea for this? I mean, a woman with diabetes and everything. Did you experience something like that in your life?
Well, I have one grandmother died. One of my grandmothers died from diabetes, and
and
my other grandmother. The artistic direction in the film, like you know, the house and everything, is very close to my grandmother. Place where you know when that I would visit when I was growing up, and just the difference between you know what I went through as a child and as a woman, you know how lucky I am, how lucky we are to have been born at a time where we can just like even sexually and just like women's rights and just you know we're allowed to express ourselves the way we want to. My grandmother couldn't really, so I always kind of thought about you know what if
she was a lesbian.
What if she was a lesbian?
Yeah. Yeah, because there was probably a lot of people back in the day that are gay.
I think so.
And just never came out. And I always think about that too with like athletes and stuff. Can you imagine how many athletes are gay and they're just like
they can't come
petrified.
Out.
Petrified.
Yeah, wait, so is Marguerite gay? Or the caregiver?
Yeah.
Or the caregiver. Who the hell is gay here?
They're both gay.
That's it. So she realizes the caregiver is gay and then that sort of opens things up for her and then she realizes that you know, she had a very close friend when she was younger who got married and they sort of, you know, grew apart. And she realizes in that moment that she was probably in love with this woman. She never married. She never had kids. And, you know, it was never appealing to her to be with a man. So
very cool.
But she doesn't have like a sexual relationship with a nurse, right?
Oh. No, it's not about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, let's not.
No, but it allows her to come out probably, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't like die.
It allows her to make peace with the past that she wasn't
with
able
who
to
she
have.
Is. Right. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that's going to be a tearjerker.
Yeah, very cool story.
I think so, yeah. I think so. I'm very proud that I've made many people cry.
Yeah. I feel like that would be a tearjerker, yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
So you got the idea for the film, right? I mean, so like you said, you have to get to the point of the ending.
Yeah.
So, and that's what Jim Christina was saying once. He says the story is you have a beginning and an ending, and the whole book is about getting from one point to the other.
Right, but then you have one moment that's like the climax, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I have a couple moments in the film that were really important to me, and I sort of constructed the rest of the story around those two, those two like pivotal moments.
Very nice. And how many people are in the cast? Is it just the two of them?
Just the two of them.
The whole film.
I really wanted to work with, you know, like amazing actresses.
Right.
I wanted to work with women because I feel like there aren't that many interesting roles for women. And, you know, it was about just working on the characters. That was my big challenge.
Right, right. And really, the story is only about the two of them. So it's not like there's anything else. I don't know how much time you have in the movie to expand on the story, but does the older lady ever make an attempt to contact that girl?
The other one, no.
So is this like just one conversation that they have the whole film, or is it like a series of?
It evolves. It's you know, it starts off probably in the winter, I think, and then seasons pass, and then it ends a year later in the fall. So you see
it ends when she dies.
She doesn't die, but she's you know, her health is declining.
Oh, jeez.
Pretty rapidly.
Yeah, tearjerker. I already know it.
She's got to know the ending before she sees anything.
Yeah, I always Google endings before I go.
Really?
Yeah, always. I'll still go and see it.
I'm the complete opposite. Yeah. I'm like, don't tell me about it. Right. I don't want to know what the story's about. That's very interesting.
I always have to Google the ending. And even if there's like surprises and shocks that I read about, I'm still surprised and shocked by it.
Yeah.
It doesn't change like how I feel about the movie.
Oh,
but why do you have to know the ending first? So you don't have that anticipation?
No, you know what it is I watch trailers, and I don't know if it's because I've watched movies my whole life or I don't know, watch too many TV shows, but I like to predict how I think the movie is going. So I just see if my prediction is right before I watch it. And then I just watch it unfold. Basically, I watch what I predicted unfold. And then if I'm wrong, I'm like, wow, I was really off there.
Is that a good thing if you're off? It means that they surprised you.
Right. Yeah. Like, I just watched this movie. I don't even think it ever went to theaters. It was called Welcome Home.
Mm-hmm.
Amrata was in it. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
I actually didn't Google the ending to that. There was actually nothing. I think I tried to. I don't think there was anything on Wikipedia.
Okay.
It was one of those movies, had I Googled the ending, had it been there, I probably wouldn't have wasted a second of my life on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like a really terrible movie.
It was. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, I'm going to watch that. Now I'm going, I don't think I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, it was not good. It was definitely not good. I mean, it depends. Like, it's an interesting concept. I just think maybe they could have like taken it, like they could have done a little bit more with it.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of those movies that had really good potential to be like interesting, and then it was just draggy.
Yeah.
Like, the trailer looked like, oh, people are gonna die and this is gonna happen, and it's just like slept through the whole thing. Like, if I'm on my phone during a movie, I think it's a pretty bad movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you don't want to get on the phone at all when you're watching a movie. People are gonna hate you.
Well, no, I usually watch movies at home. I haven't been to the movie theater since I moved out here.
It's hard. It's hard not getting on your phone. I find when you're watching it at home and then you get a text message, you
get distracted.
Of course. Right. And it screws up your whole, you know, the whole movie watching experience.
Right.
If I see movies in theaters, I won't Google the ending. But I haven't been to the movie theater since I moved here because I don't have anyone to go with.
Yeah.
So I wait for them to be on Redbox. So it's just like, it's been out for months.
Yeah.
The ending's there.
Yeah.
Perfect for you.
Yeah.
Well, Marianne Farley, we have a few minutes left. I wanted to ask you then, how long did it take to make the film?
It took about 6 months to get financing, and then I guess another 6 months to shoot it, and then do post-production
and all that.
About so 6 months altogether?
About a year.
Oh, a year together. But that's with financing and filming. Yeah. That's not that bad.
It's actually a very short process.
Right.
It's usually longer.
Very nice.
The editing takes more than the actual shooting, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like shooting is like 3 days, and editing is three, four weeks.
Right.
At least. The feature I co-produced last summer that I played in, I had been working on for 10 years.
Oh, my God.
So that's...
You wrote it, or you just been...
No, I co-produced it, and I played in it.
So is it out? Can we watch it?
It's in post-production right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where's it going? Where's it hitting?
We're submitting it to Cannes, but we'll see.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty
female-driven project, so we'll see if Ken says yes to a female-driven project.
Right. So when you take 10 years to work on a project like that and then you submit it to a film festival, how does one possibly profit off of it? Only if it gets, like, recognized at the film festival? Or could you possibly have spent 10 years of your life just to, like, do this project that you'll never, like...
make money?
Yeah.
You don't get paid until you actually get the funding for it,
right?
Really, you know, at the
Funding could be including like cast pay, right?
Yeah, it includes all of that.
Okay, that makes sense.
We did get money in development for the writers,
right?
So they got paid before we got the whole funding.
Oh,
very interesting. Cool. You see, so I mean, there's a lot of different sides to filmmaking and stuff. It's not just like, you know, you write your script and then you shoot it and that's it.
Well, sometimes writers that write scripts, they like sell it and then they have nothing to do with the movie.
Right.
I think that really depends on the relationship that you have with you know, with the team.
Right.
I think it's important to have, I mean, it's important to follow the director's vision.
Right.
That's how I feel, even as a producer. I feel like the directors should be king.
Right.
You know, should have the last word. But I mean, that's also, you know, public funding, it's very different when you have big studios and you have like $150 million invested of private funding.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of different.
Right.
Mm. But I do believe in that. I do believe that the director should have the last word.
Right. I think so too.
Creatively, at least.
Yeah. Well, the film is Marguerite, and you guys can actually see it nowhere, right? In the festival circuit.
I know. Isn't that depressing? I think there's Shorts TV, Calvin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shorts TV. I think it's coming out when? I don't know. In Washington?
Like, I don't know.
It's coming out in theaters. You know, Shorts TV, every year they present the five nominated films.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's in a theater near you in big cities. I think I'm not sure exactly
where.
So
you can look it up.
Right. Yeah. Because so many people come on and talk about their shorts, and then it's like, well, thanks for listening. You can't watch it.
Right. And so, plus, you may not make the money directly from the film, but once you win an Academy Award, your value goes up, right?
I think even being nominated is great for career.
Yeah, of course.
And it's even better.
And then it helps you get better jobs, better gigs and stuff. You can make money off of that.
Yeah, you're like, I'm an Academy Award-winning nominee.
Exactly. Award-winning nominee.
It's on my IMDb now. It's never going away.
Right. That's awesome.
Nominated for one Oscar. My son, my 8-year-old, when he found out, he was like, so how much does that pay? I was like, no, that doesn't, you don't understand. Yeah. It doesn't pay anything. Right. But right.
You get to have it on my mantle.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, if somebody sees the short, they could maybe make it into a longer movie, right?
Yeah. I mean, I could always do that.
Right.
I'm not sure I want to.
Right.
I've been, I've been traveling with this for a couple years now, and it feels like.
Yeah, you need something
new. I need to turn the page.
Right. So what's next for you, Miriam?
I have a feature in development right now that I'm...
Not the 10-year one, something else.
Yeah, another one. Yeah, okay. So I have the feature I co-produced that's coming out this year, and then getting funding for another feature and funding for another short, probably my last.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, last short.
Yeah, last short.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, but I really... It's a short I really want to work on. It talks about abortion rights, and which is... really important to me. So
yeah,
right, yeah.
You want to talk about that now?
No.
Neither do I.
Remember the time we had the two girls on here about abortion? It got heated in here. Yeah,
control all delete or something.
Yeah, really? I was like, wow, it's getting hot in here.
Oh, yeah. Oh my god.
It was a heated conversation, but it wasn't a bad one.
No, either. Yeah. It's what we people have on a regular
everything.
Basis.
Yeah, we always keep everything.
Right. It's like funny a cigarette. Like light, a cigarette.
Yeah, like it's like a little bit of a debate. Yeah, like you feel like you want to punch him in the face, you're not going to.
Well, abortion is always a hot topic.
Yeah.
Very hot. I'm not touching that one with a 20-foot pole.
Especially here in the United States, I think.
Yes.
Right.
I think it's not as bad in Canada.
Yeah.
It's just because we're so divided now that we're divided on everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's very polarized these days.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. 110%.
So it becomes like almost like partisan. You know, people don't care what their real view is, but hey, you know, if people think that way, I'll think that way too.
Yeah.
Know?
Right, right.
And
I've never cared what other people thought. I'm going to think what I want to think.
Yeah.
So you film whatever you do would be controversial, right?
I think what I do is a bit controversial, but it's also kind of it's very humane.
Oh, you know, okay. So you're showing the human side of it.
Human connection is really
really
the basis of everything I do. Yeah.
Wow, very cool. Very cool. And do you have any, do you have any like gay friends and stuff that sort of like give you an insight into gay relationships? How did you know about that?
It's not really about gay relationships.
It's a human connection.
It's more a film about making peace with your past. It's about regret. It's about.
So that could happen to a straight person too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it doesn't talk about gay relationships. It talks about, I mean, in the sense that we don't see a gay relationship in the film at all.
Right.
You know, it's just this woman who happens to be gay, and then this other woman who's probably I don't know if she was gay, but she fell in love.
But it's
with
about
a woman.
Love,
Wow. And I really believe in that. I really believe that you can fall in love with a human being, you know, regardless of their sex.
Right.
And that's amazing because apparently they had a good relationship, the caregiver and the woman, to be able to talk about these things and stuff.
They
don't
talk about it much, though. That's the interesting thing is there are not a lot of words in the film.
Is it flashbacks?
No flashbacks.
Really?
No.
So if there's no talking, what do they actually do? I mean, they like think. I mean, what do they do?
You know, I mean, she realizes she so the nurse is on the phone talking with her girlfriend, and then as she's giving a bath to Marguerite, and then Marguerite goes, "Oh, that was your boyfriend," and she goes, "No, that was my girlfriend."
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So that was so in the trailer that I just saw. Okay.
Exactly. So you just you understand just from how she reacts to that it kind of it stirs things up for her,
right?
And then it sort of evolves, and they by not talking about it, you understand that there's something there. And then eventually she does ask.
Wow, that's pretty clever stuff. So, so you're talented. I mean, very obviously multi-talented.
I think it's harder to write a script with less words than it is with more words.
It's very, it is very challenging.
Because you have to like tell a story with like emotion and like.
Yeah, body, and with the camera and the directing. And
the hard thing is putting it on paper.
Right.
Because putting it, for me, it's pretty easy to direct actors and, you know, with subtext and all that stuff. And I know how that works, but to be able to explain it to, you know, our government funding agency and so that they understand it, that's a challenge.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So did you actually end up changing the ending?
I did.
You did, in order to get the funding?
Yeah. The first ending was very edgy.
Really?
It was much edgy.
Like, what? Let's talk about edgy. Like,
no, we don't have time to start talking about that. But I see Kelvin wants to put in last words before we go.
I was going to say that her film is so powerful because it says so much without saying a lot at all.
Right.
And if you're into it, also introduces the notion of compassion and empathy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more so than just the, you know, the actual relationships that was happening.
Right, right.
So I think it's a very good film.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, it sounds like it.
Thank you.
Marianne Farley, thank you so much for joining us. How can people find you, find out more about the film?
Good question.
Social media, anything?
Oh, yeah. I have Facebook. Okay. I have so much.
Great. That's where people need to find you. Okay.
It's crazy.
So just
now.
Look up Marianne Farley. You'll probably find you anywhere.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. It's the Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'm all there.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having
me. You're a fascinating guest. Great. You're amazing.
See, look, 50 minutes. That was quick,
that was so quick.
She was worried, what am I going to say for 50 minutes? Yeah. Well, we could spend another 50 minutes here easily, right?
But then we would talk about the edgy.
Right. We talk about a lot of things, But we're pros here.
Yes.
And we can carry conversations for hours.
Right, that's right.
Kelvin, it's so funny because everyone always comes in there like 50 minutes and we're like, just sit back, relax. Wait, and enjoy.
Well, Kelvin, thank you for making it happen.
You're welcome. You're
okay,
welcome.
Okay, and
pleasure.
Much success to you. Thank you to Catherine, of course, and we always love her. Danny, thank you.
You're welcome.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.